Well, good evening, everybody. Feels a little bit like spring came this week. Is that good? I'm really fired up about that. And I'm fired up about what God's doing in this church. I'm more fired up about what He's going to do. And that's kind of what we're looking at as we have been diving into Acts chapter 2. And it gives us a description of life in the early church. Also a picture of what God wants to do in any church. That'll just allow Him to be God in their midst. Last week I referenced Bruce Wilkinson's book, You Were Born for This, and I shared a few keys about how we can partner with God to deliver miracles to other people. And one of the areas in which God will often have us deliver a package, remember I had a box up here, and you're the UPS delivery man or woman? God will often have us deliver a package to someone else in the financial area of their lives as a sign of His compassion and care for that person in meeting their need. It's kind of one of those things that goes, wow, God must know my name, because He just released something into that need. Now, Bruce shares a great story of being in a restaurant one night, seated with four other people, and during the course of the meal, the waiter named Jack had served them well, though they hadn't talked with him much other than the usual exchanges about menu and food and what have you. And meanwhile, at the table, the conversation revolved around some of Jesus' more extreme teachings, like ask and you will receive, and it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Bruce says that during the conversation, he felt unexpectedly nudged by heaven to try something he had never done. At the same time, he sensed it involved Jack, the waiter. And the experiment involved putting $300 at risk. Now, I don't have $300. We'll pretend it's $300. And they were sitting there at the table. And so when Jack came by again, Bruce asked him, Jack, have you ever heard the saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive? Jack said, yeah, I've heard that. Bruce said, well, do you believe that? And Jack said, yeah, I guess I believe that. And Bruce said, well, then I have an interesting opportunity for you, Jack. And so placing a $100 bill there on the table, he said, you have a choice to make. He said, you can have that $100 bill, or you can go back in the kitchen and get us dessert. Only it has to be on you, not on the restaurant. So you see the interesting dilemma he was putting. Jack had just said he believed it was more blessed to give than to receive. So do you want to receive the $100, or do you want to give us a dessert? He said, the rest of my friends at the table had almost lost their breath. And Jack stood there. I said, I had his attention. And he finally said like twice, he said, are you serious? And Bruce said, yeah, I'm serious. Jack said, that's easy. I'll take the $100. At which point, Bruce, true to his word, gave Jack the $100. And at that point, he said thank you and headed back in the kitchen, and they could hear him talking to his friends back there about this guy, this nut perhaps, who had just given him $100. Now, Bruce admits feeling increasingly uncomfortable and wondering whether his test had been fair. You see, earlier he had slipped $200 under his plate. And the test was that if Jack went and got them dessert to prove that he believed it was more blessed to give than to receive, then when he came back with the dessert, he was going to get $200. But he didn't know that. And so Bruce just felt like, well, I was hoping that Jack would make the self-sacrificial choice because Bruce strongly sensed that God wanted to encourage Jack with a larger sum. So the next time Jack came around, Bruce asked him, I'm curious, Jack, do you believe you made the right choice? And Jack responded very excitedly, absolutely. In fact, he said it was a miracle. You see, he said, I'm a single dad. And then he pulled out his wallet and started showing them pictures of his little three-year-old son. And then he went on to explain why he'd been so excited. He said, I have to work three jobs during the 4 days of the week that I work just so that I can take care of my son on the other 3 days when my ex-wife works. He said, but I'm having a tough time making ends meet. Just this morning, I had to mail my alimony check of $100 even though my account was down to zero. And driving to work this afternoon, I actually prayed, God, please, I need an extra $100 and I need it today. Well, Bruce and his friends, as you can imagine, were speechless. I mean, how could they have known of Jack's crisis or of his prayer for $100? But then it was Bruce's turn to explain, so he told Jack that even if he had decided to give instead of receive, he'd intended to give him the $200 that were under the plate. But now that they knew the full story, Bruce said, I agree, you made the right choice. But Bruce said, suddenly I knew what needed to happen next. He said to Jack, you know, you have to know that none of this money is mine. He said, the owner wanted me to pass it on as a kind of message to the right person, and I'm sure that person was you. And so Bruce reached under the plate at that point for the other $200 and said, obviously God wanted you to have the $100, and he wants you to have this too, and he gave him the $300. Now, is that awesome or what? All we are is delivery agents sent on errands for God to deliver what he has put in our hands and our hearts for others. Now, while we don't always know, as I said last week, what's in the box, we know it's good because it's from God. But when we undertake a Spirit-led assignment, guys, I want you to know it always gives the recipient a tangible glimpse of God's personal love and concern for them. And often God does that through acts of compassion and generosity which meet special needs in that person's life. Now that's what we're going to look at today as we continue in this series called Amazing, where we've been looking at the amazing life God invites each of us into as a part of his supernatural community called the church. Not just the things he wants to do through us individually, but what he wants to release through us corporately. We've been diving into the book of Acts, as I shared earlier, and we've been looking at the first church of Jerusalem, the first church in the first century, which again is a description of the kind of life that God makes available to us in the 21st century. As we approach our 20th anniversary, we're not only celebrating what God has done for 20 years, but we're looking ahead and saying, Lord, continue to release your amazing life in us and our church and through us. Make us an Acts 2 community in the 21st century, just as you made that early church in the first century. Because he's the same God. Now, as we noted, 3,000 people came to Christ on the first day of the church. They began to grow in the grace, in his grace, as recorded in Acts 2:42. We looked a couple of weeks ago at that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those are four cornerstones that will always be in the life of anyone who is moving on and growing in the amazing grace of God. Then last week we looked at our amazing God who does awesome signs and wonders, but who always sticks by human instrumentation when he wants to release a special miracle in our lives. Acts 2:43 says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So we looked at the five keys to partnering with God as his special delivery agent so he can do amazing things through us. Now today we want to look at how God reveals his heart of compassion and concern for people and meets their needs through the body of Christ. And I want you to remember, I've shared this before, but I want to just, every time I come to a moment like this, I want to just drive it back down into your heart that every church needs to, it's kind of like we exemplify in our ministry a stool with three legs. And the first is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 20, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the Great Commission. We're to be all about making disciples, reaching more and more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's to be done in a heart, out of a heart that is passionate about the Great Commandment. So you have the Great Commission, make disciples, the Great Commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, so we carry a heart of love, the Great Commandment, to do the Great Commission. And then if we're carrying that heart of love, and many times people won't care that you want to share the gospel with them if they don't first recognize that you really care about them. And so that's called what we call the Great Compassion. That's the third leg. And that's Matthew 25, where Jesus said, you know, you're to feed the hungry and clothe those who are without clothing and heal the sick and this type of thing. And he said, as much as you've done it unto the least of one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you've done it unto me. So this is a great commission. Make disciples, the Great Commandment. Love God with all your heart. And the Great Compassion. Just reach into the lives of those who have need. Those three legs on any stool will make any church a great church. And we see that at work here in this Acts 2 community. And so Acts chapter 2 verses 44 and 46, 44 to 46 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Look at this. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's a picture of what happens when God touches the hearts of people who would otherwise remain self-centered consumers. And he thus releases acts of amazing compassion and generosity. And as I've often said, this is the way that people experience tangible expressions of the Lord's love and care for them. I mean, can you imagine what it did for Jack to receive that direct answer to the cry of his heart through Bruce? Bruce not knowing that Jack needed it, Bruce just listening to what God wanted and obeying him, and Jack receiving a miracle because there was a delivery agent on the scene. And as I've said before, many times people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, and it's through the caring, it's through that compassionate leg that God opens their heart to understand there's a God who loves them and wants them to belong to his family. And if you have ever been in Bruce's shoes, you've been the delivery person of God's miracle in the life of someone else, you know that there is nothing more exciting than being used of God to make his love tangible to other people through acts of compassion and generosity. Nothing more exciting than that. In fact, I had a guy tell me early on in the life of this church, a fellow who was saved out of a life of depravity. He was a steward on a plane, and he would regularly just bed the women, I mean, in his former life. And he said, Cal, I hated myself. I felt terrible about who I was. And many times just wanted to kill myself. And he said to me one day, he said, the only time I felt alive, he said, there were a lot of times when I might be staying in a city for the night, and I would find some homeless people, and I would just go in and buy pizzas, and I'd go sit in the street with them, and we'd just eat pizza together. He said, something in me felt alive. Now that's somebody who didn't even know God yet, but was catching something of the God kind of life that God intends to flow through us when we carry his heart for other people. And so I want to look at some of the avenues God uses in our lives and in our church to release miracles of compassion in the lives of other people. And foundational to how he moves through a church, how he'll continue to move through Northwoods, is this first one. Avenue number one is that God releases miracles of compassion through just our obedient giving. And by obedient giving, I'm simply referring to giving God the tithe of your income, a tenth of your income right off the top. Now, I know some believers dispute whether that's necessary since the tithe was a part of the Old Testament law, but Jesus said in the New Testament that he had come not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law and through grace set us free from needing some external law to tell us what to do because his law was now written in our hearts. So it wasn't the type of thing where since he came along, he says, you don't have to keep the law anymore. Does Jesus still want us to keep the law? Don't commit adultery? Don't murder? Don't steal? Does he want us to keep those laws? Absolutely. But what he's saying is, when my grace is at work in your heart, you don't need a set of laws over there to tell you what to do. You're just going to walk out of love and obedience to me, and you'll be fulfilling the law. I love how Dr. Robert Morris says this, and we bought you his book a year ago called The Blessed Life. He said, I always smile when someone says to me, I don't tithe because I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. He said, I respond by saying, oh, so you give according to grace. The person will say, yeah, that's right. He said, then I say, well, great, that must mean that you're giving more than 10% because Jesus said the righteousness of grace always exceeds the righteousness of the law. See, not one person in the early church recorded here in Acts chapter 2 would have disputed whether they should tithe or not. That was just second nature to them. You look at their hearts in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 to 46, and you can tell that their first question was not, do I need to tithe anymore, but how much more of what I have can I put into play for the kingdom of God? See, because God loves to do miracles for the person in the church that have that kind of heart. And right there it is, Acts chapter 2. What you discover when you come into agreement with God through obedient giving is that you can never outgive him. He asks you to give the $100 that you thought you couldn't give away, which you did, and then all of a sudden he lifted his plate and said, good, if I can get it through you, I'll bring it to you. You can never outgive God. And I long for our church to understand that, that part of how God wants to impact our city and our world is just through our obedient giving. And he has given us this promise in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you want to give God just a little cup, give it to him. But you know what? He'll give you a cup back, but his cup will get all packed down, and shaken together, packed down, and running over. He'll give you back more than what you gave him in your cup. But the deal is, if you want 5 gallons of blessing, then give him a 5 gallon. Give out of a 5 gallon bucket, see. He'll pack it down, shake it together, pack it down, make sure it's running over and send it back to you. Because he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you're generous, you'll get a generous measure from God. If you're stingy, you'll get a stingy measure from God. And that's exactly true of any church. God will bless in accordance with the measure we use. I was a blessing a few weeks ago to meet Robert Morris. I got to eat lunch with him. And he's a pastor of this great church called Gateway in Dallas, Texas, a church that has grown from 0 to 13,000 in 10 years. In his book, Robert tells of unbelievable miracles God has done in his life through obedient giving. And when I met him, I said, Robert, your book was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to many in our church who read it. I said, we bought a copy for every home in our church. And I said, I want you to know that the most miraculous part of my life has been in my resources, in my giving. I've seen miracles. But Robert, I said, I believe you got a few that top mine. So I got to get going again here, you know. And he shares of a time where he was at he's a young evangelist in his 20s, and he just lives on what comes in during the week, or whenever he goes to a meeting, whatever the church takes up for him, that's what he's got to live on for the month. So if he has 2 meetings for the month, that's what he's got. If he's got 3 meetings, 4 meetings, whatever. He was sitting at a missions conference, and I think it's where the Dallas Mavericks play. I think that's like an American Airlines arena or something like that. And he was sitting way up in the rafters when at the end of that meeting, there was an appeal for people to give to this particular mission that was on. I mean, he said it was a heart-tugging deal that people just, it was like, if you were there, you wanted to be a part of it. He said, I had $100, which was what I had left for the month. And so I was kind of unsure what I was supposed to do, and he said, I felt the Lord say, I want you to give the entire 100. He's like, man, what am I going to tell my wife about what I did with what we got left for the month, you know? And so as they were getting ready to take the offering, they led in prayer, and everybody was, you know, they're praying, and Robert says, I felt a nudge from the Spirit ask me to bless this 100-fold. And he said, so as I'm praying, I'm just up there in a corner by myself. He said, I've got my $100 in my hand, and I'm standing there with it raised, saying, God, show me that you're the God who multiplies and you're the God who provides and bless it a hundredfold, not for me, but for the glory of your kingdom. And little did he know that at that very moment, down there on the floor, on the platform, God spoke to a man and said, I want you to turn around and look up there. This guy doesn't know what he's looking for, but he says, see that guy up there with he doesn't know he has anything in his hand. See the guy with his hand raised. I want you to write out a check right now for him for $10,000. You do the math. And when that meeting was over, Robert, just having asked God to demonstrate his faithfulness with a hundredfold return, received a check for $10,000. Now, do you think that guy preaches giving today with a sense of the anointing of God on him? I mean, his book's just filled with stories like that. I thought, is it any wonder that God is releasing amazing miracles of compassion to this church? Well, we were at this conference there a few weeks ago. We learned that it is the most, and it wasn't him. He doesn't go bragging about his church or anything. It was just one of the executive pastors was saying, because we said, man, you just sense the generosity. It's like they just give, you know. And he said, well, we learned that some church growth analysts studied, you know, not only the fastest growing churches, largest churches, all this type of thing, but they have ways of measuring giving. And they told us that in terms of regular giving, our people are 4 times more generous than the next most generous church in the United States. 4 times. I said, what's your annual budget? I'm quickly doing some math. Because I've always thought that Northwoods is a pretty generous church, and we are. But I did some quick math to find out that though Gateway is 3.5 times our size, their giving, rather than 3.5 times ours, is almost 9 times greater than ours. I quick did, boy, if I had 9 times the budget. Whew. Unbelievable. When we asked them about how they explained their phenomenal giving, one executive pastor said, it's not that we have a bunch of really wealthy contributors. What we have is a lot of average income believers who simply obey God by giving a tithe of their income. In fact, they told me, we don't even take an offering. I said, what do you mean you don't take an offering? So no, we just got boxes at the back. People just give, you know, if God's prospered them. Oh, are you kidding me? Fact, Robert is the only pastor I've ever heard of who during a stewardship campaign one time had to stand up and tell the people to stop giving because they had enough now. Don't need any more. Don't give. I'd love to do that one day, guys. It's incredible, but it explains the amazing work God is doing through them in their community and around the world. And guys, I share this not to compare or put us down, but to say, let's be as committed to the work of God here in Central Illinois as they are in Dallas, Texas. Because here's what I've become convinced of. God wants us to learn obedient giving so that he can release miraculous assignments to us for which we already have the ability to respond rather than the other way around. Because here's how it works in a lot of churches. God releases something cool into the heart of the pastor, the leadership, or whatever, and then they go, well, how are we going to get the money? And they take it to the people, and the people go, oh, let's vote and see if we want to do that. That's not likely to release what God wants to do. He says, you release the giving, and then I'll put assignments upon your heart that I want you to meet. And I'm going to teach you tonight that that's exactly the way it works for us individually. Gateway has such incredible giving that when God said, I want your people to adopt 100 orphans this year. You know what the church did? You know how many of you ever adopted a kid? We've got some people who adopted children. You know how difficult that is. And you know how costly it can be. You know what their church did? Those of you who are called of God to raise an orphan, we're going to pay for you to be able to adopt that child. You just raise a child, we'll pay for it. God comes along and says, hey, you know that church across town that says struggling to raise funds and, you know, they're, you know, I'm at work there and everything. Would you help them out? Drop a couple $100,000. We'll help that church. Hey, will you guys tithe into Israel just to bless Israel? Since that is the epicenter, you know. And I met their Jewish pastor and 18 other or they're connected to 18 other leaders in Israel right now, just doing amazing work. And Robert would say, if people were asking us why God keeps blessing our church, I'll just say, because we put first what he puts first. He puts Israel first, we put Israel first. He puts the first fruits first, we put the first fruits first. We put the tithe first, we put the tithe, you know. And I just felt like we're in a church here that's going to stir us on to love and good works, which is what we're supposed to be doing with one another. And guys, what I want you to know is that God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't like Gateway better than us. He simply works through us in accordance with our level of faith and obedience. I just happen to believe that there's far more he wants to release to us and through us in the days ahead. But it's going to take each of us saying, I'm going to obey God in my giving so God can release miraculous things through us. So I want to challenge you again. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're committed to the ministry of the local church, just know that when you obey God and you put him first in your giving by tithing your income, when you obey him, don't worry about it. He's always got something more under the plate. And he'll get it to you if he can get it through you. One of the ways he wants to release miracles of compassion is through just our obedient giving. Now, there's another avenue that God uses corporately, and that is he releases miracles of compassion through our corporate involvements. Obviously, we each have a responsibility to do whatever God tells us to do as individuals. He might ask you to rake somebody's leaves, fix somebody's car, care for someone, give to someone, and it's important that we learn to deliver those care packages as individuals. But there is something amazing released when we engage in a much greater need as a church, because then God releases a compassion that is far beyond anything we could do individually. It's kind of like on the weekends that we've run out and gotten groceries, right? Last year it was like 30 tons of groceries. Now, I don't know any of us that could probably go out and buy 30 tons of groceries on our own. But when God uses us corporately and we get involved as a church corporately to do things that he's put on our hearts, then there's just amazing compassion released. This happened again a few weeks ago when 30-some folks represented us in medical and construction projects in the Dominican Republic. And though not all of us were there, there was a work of God being released through this church because of those who represented us there. And we are continuing to ask God to help us release unprecedented amounts of compassion to needy parts of his world as he guides us in the days ahead. Now listen, here's something really exciting. On this recent trip to the Dominican Republic, Steve Schaefer, our executive pastor, had the opportunity to connect to an orphanage in Haiti. And we're going to show you a couple pictures here about that. But this thing is in desperate need of repair. And in need of food and water. And so we're glad to announce today that very soon we're going to be sending in work teams to help in our little corner of Haiti. This is an orphanage of about 160 kids, ages 1 to 18. They need construction crews, water filtration, etc. So those of you who signed up to go to Haiti a few months ago, we're going to be calling on you soon and getting ready to send in four different teams over a four-week period during the month of June, because they said April and May are rainy season, you won't get very much done, so let's wait till June. So just be watching for information as we finalize the details. All told, this time around we'll need about 60 people, four teams of 15 people, but here's what's cool. Because of your giving, as a church, we not only have already sent better than $30,000 into Haiti, but we're also going to use some of what has been given to take care of all the in-country costs for those of you who decide to go. So all you'll have to do, you're going to go do the construction for us. We're going to help you do it. So all you'll have to do is through this church, we'll give you out, you know, Steve, if I know when he pulls the team together, here's the letters to send out. There will be people in this church going to help you raise the money for your airline cost and for whatever immunization costs you may need. But that's all going to be happening here over the next couple of months. And so again, if you're interested in this, you want to be a representative of Northwoods in Haiti, I want to tell you something. In the month of June, there's going to be an amazing outpouring of compassion where people are going to see the work of God, and it's going to be through this church. a church they don't even know, but it's going to make an impact that not just any one of us individually could make. That's how God does it. He releases miracles of compassion through obedient giving. He releases miracles of compassion through our corporate involvements. Avenue number three, God releases miracles of compassion through what I call relational proximity. The first two avenues I've covered deal with how God uses us corporately to meet needs that go beyond what any of us could do individually. But now notice another dynamic factor in the release of compassion that flows through the individual. Often when God wants to release a miracle of compassion, it will come through our relational connection to a person who has a need. God will put that need on our heart such that in our responding to it, the other person receives a miraculous parcel from God that highlights his love and care for them, as I've shared already. Now, I don't know about you, but I get lots of letters asking me to give to certain things. It is much more likely that I will give to a person that I'm already connected with than to someone who just sends me a letter from Georgia that goes to every church in the country and says, hey, here's what I'm doing. Do you want to give to this? Most often I say, bless it, Lord, not for me. Because generally it's through relationship that God touches my heart and says, give to that. That's what was happening here in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't just obedient giving and corporate involvement, but relational proximity that led to the release of compassion. But here's the secret. One reason these guys in the early church knew about the needs in people's lives is because they were eating meals together and spending time in each other's homes. This is one of the areas of ministry in which I want to see us really excel in the days ahead that we haven't been real strong in for the first 20 years. Connection through home groups or small groups is the only way that God can not only continue to build the church as we reach more people and yet make sure that individual needs don't fall through the cracks. I mean, what if God wanted to bring another 4,000 people to us? You know, he has a heart that all people be saved, right? Sometimes people go, oh, our church is big enough, we don't need any more. Well, you tell that to the person that's lost and hellbound. What if he wanted to bring another 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people to Christ in the next decade and enfold them into our church? I mean, I want to believe him for that. Anybody with me? Or are you just wanting to get smaller? Oh, I like our church just small. Us four and no more, you know? See, the only way we can enfold that many more people in our church and still feel like a church instead of just a big crowd is if each of us were intentional about being involved in a small group where we could know and be known, love and be loved, and serve and be served. See, in a large church, you can just kind of get lost in the crowd if you want to, and that may be okay if you're exploring the faith or wanting a place where you can just kind of be anonymous for a while, because I've heard people say, you know, it's just great to sit back, we've needed to heal, and it's just great to be lost in the crowd. That's fine. But I want to tell you, that's a poor place to be when something goes down in your life. And we've often had people fall through the cracks here. You know, someone experienced a health issue, and no one came to see me. Someone experienced a job loss, and the church wasn't there for them. Someone went through a family crisis, and no one from the church contacted them. You know what that simply tells me? You probably weren't connected with anybody. And you just thought, in a huge church like this, that some pastor would take care of it. You know what, guys? We'd have to hire better than 70 or 80 pastors just to take care 1-to-50 ratio in this church. It's never going to happen. So how does it happen? We get intentional about being involved in people's lives through home groups. How can anyone know you have a need in your life if you're lost in the crowd and aren't connected relationally to anybody? How can you know, here's a better question, how can you know and respond to the needs in somebody else's life if you aren't connected relationally to anybody? How can God deliver a parcel to somebody in this church that he wants you connected with if you're not connected to them? This is your home. This is your family. But it's too big a family for you to know everybody. So you have to have a smaller place where you can connect with people and develop close relationships. It's one of the avenues God uses to release compassion to us and through us. So what we're going to do tonight, you already, Gary talked about it here. This small group connection is going to take place right out here in the glass room, okay? in the hospitality center. And we're going to make available an opportunity for you to at least learn about how you can get involved in a home group. I want to challenge you today. If you can say that your spiritual family is Northwoods Community Church, and yet not one person here would know if you had a need because you're not connected to anyone, then you go to that meeting afterwards and you learn about how you can get involved in a small group. Because one of the ways God wants to release compassion to you and through you is through relational proximity to other believers. And just to entice you a little bit more, I hope John was right. I asked John Chaney, who kind of oversees that whole arena, is there going to be any food at all? He said, well, we might have some donut holes or something. So if you need something like that, you go. Now this final one. I love this. Avenue number four, God releases miracles of compassion through personal promptings. Here we're referring to those miracle moments when you're just going about your business and the Holy Spirit shows you a need and says, I want you to do something for that person. You're not in relationship with them, whatever. You're in a restaurant. I want you to help that person. This is some of what we see going on in Acts chapter 2 as well. Hey, there's a need over there, God says. I want you to meet it, so just give what I'm asking you to give to that person right now. And in order to be able to respond to these kinds of spontaneous moments when God wants to bless someone through you, you have to be prepared, just like a church has to be prepared when God brings miracle moments to it. So I want to encourage you today to develop a God pocket. This is a concept that Bruce Wilkinson has in his book. It's someplace in your wallet or your purse that contains a small amount of extra giving over and above your tithe that you will only touch when the Spirit of God prompts you to give to someone. Can't be used for anything else. It's like dedicated to God. So I have a little pocket in here that I use for a lot of different things, okay? Right there. But right up front, right behind my mugshot, little God pocket. And I dedicate that to God and say, Lord, while you're the owner of it all, I've specifically dedicated that pocket to you. And if at any moment you know that I'm to give that to somebody who has a need, you prompt me and it's theirs. That's a God pocket. And I assure you, if you prepare yourself to respond to God's promptings, the Spirit will release miracles of compassion and blessing through you in amazing ways, just as he used Bruce in Jack's life. And you don't have to carry $300 in there. You can if you want, but whatever God tells you, you know, it's kind of like, Lord, how much do you want me to keep in there? John Chaney, who directs our established ministry, our small group ministries, just the other day told me about a great Christmas outreach that their ministry zone did. And when I heard this, I was mad that they didn't invite me along. It was so cool. I want you to just listen to this for a minute.
This last Christmas, we were a group of us in our office. We were trying to decide what we're going to do for a Christmas party. And so we came up with all kinds of different options. But we decided that what we'd do is collect money for about a month in our office. And then on December 17th, we were all going to hop in a car and take this money and go, drive around and give it away. Absolutely no plan on where we were going to go or what we were going to do. But on the day that we went, we ended up with $435, and we borrowed a van so we could all fit in it, and we just started driving. We saw a mailman just walking down the street, and we walked up to him, and we gave him $30, and we just said, we just wanted to bless you today. Merry Christmas. And we went to Irving School, and we saw all these buses with bus drivers in the buses, and so we all of us jumped out of the van. We went up to all the buses, and we gave each bus driver $20 and just said, we wanted to bless you, and Merry Christmas. We just pulled into the gas station. We saw a lady sitting in her car, just like not pumping gas, just sitting in her car. And so we walked up to her and said, do you guys need gas? And we said, yeah. And well, we'd like to fill it up for you. We just wanted to bless you today. We saw a guy across the street that was just kind of looked like maybe he lived on the street. And we had 25 meals with us, sack lunches. So we gave this guy a meal. We went up to Aldi's. And in Aldi's, we decided we'd go in and we'd buy somebody some groceries. So there's people standing in line and they're checking out. And we just tried to listen to God, and we walked up to the this person that was checking out, and we just said, hey, we'd like to pay this bill for you. And it ended up being a couple that were, they were buying a bunch of groceries as gifts to give to people. And so we just, we paid it all for them and blessed them. They're from a small church in Peoria. We went from there to the Mission Mart on Knoxville, Southside Mission Mart. And there were people in there shopping, and they were buying things, and they went up to the counter to pay for it. And we would just step in and say, hey, we'd like to bless you and pay for that today. I hopped out of the van. There was a lady walking down the street, walking her child. And I just walked up to her and said, hey, we want to bless you today. Here's 20 bucks. Merry Christmas. And just tears came into her eyes. It was just like, you know, somebody just, you know, cared for me out of the blue. It was so much fun. And we were all filled with joy and awe in the people's reactions. It was like as we were coming back, it was like, man, I wish we could have like a full-time job just giving money away. Everybody needs to have this experience of going out and just being able to share with people that need it.
Is that cool? You all know what that's like, don't you, if you've been involved there. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happened this summer when we did the Faith Stimulus Project and asked you to pray about who you should give to. I told you then about a youth group in the Philippines that had been praying about where to get money to buy T-shirts for their church's 25th anniversary, and somehow their answer to prayer came via some Faith Stimulus money from Northwoods. There they are in, what is it called, Olongapo, the Philippines, but there are some of them with their T-shirts. And you know, so you guys, some of my spiritual moms here are thinking Kel's trying to dress like 20-something. No, I just came because I wanted you to see my Christmas present from this church as a blessing through Northwoods. They sent all kinds of pictures and sent me a shirt to say it's just amazing how God blessed us through you. Is that awesome? I thought I'd show you. Faithful, because God is faithful. Can you imagine what would happen through a church our size if every follower of Christ determined to live that way? Just, Lord, here, whatever you want. Now, I want you to be ready at any moment to respond to the Spirit of God to bless someone else as He prompts you. And so in honor of our 20th anniversary, here's all we're wrapping up tonight. We want to help you develop your own God pocket by giving each of you a $20 bill today in honor of our 20-year anniversary. Okay? That's not just one per home. That's everybody. You put this in a place in your purse or your wallet and simply say, God, you're the owner of that pocket, so I won't touch it unless or until you prompt me to give it to someone. Now, you can always add to it, and when you use it, you just replenish it as the Lord allows you, so that you're always carrying something in that God pocket. Now, all of our high school and junior high students this weekend, they're receiving $10 over there in their place. So don't tell them, because I know, like, my daughter's in high school, but she likes to sit in here. Well, this would be a great time with it. They're all going to run in here and say, well, I want the 20 instead of the 10. Listen, all of your kids are getting $2 bills tonight, because we want this to be a thing that the family prays about. Maybe you pool it together. I don't know. Maybe just individually. Let's pray about who God would have us bless. And sometime between now and the Sunday we come together for our 20th anniversary, we just want to infuse through you acts of compassion. As God prompts you, you use your God pocket and just bless people. And if anyone asks you why you're giving it to them, you just tell them the owner wanted me to give this to you because he wanted you to know that he cares about you. And if they ask you who the owner is, then you're on your way. You can tell them. Oh, and by the way, remember Jack, the waiter, single dad that Bruce met in the restaurant? That night is Bruce was headed to the car. He hears, wait! And running across the parking lot is Jack. He's done with work. Follows him to his car. And he says, I don't understand. I've never had anything like this happen to me. Bruce asked him, Jack, do you think, you know, let him know that God was trying to reveal his love. Do you think he's chasing you down about something? Jack said, yeah. What do you think he's chasing you down about? You know what it was? A fractured marriage that he longed to see restored but didn't believe there was any hope for. And that night, Bruce had the opportunity to pray with him to not only forgive his wife, but to invite God to do a work of healing. And before he left that night, he said, before December is over, I'm going to be on my knees proposing to her. Now, I don't know where the rest of that story went. But all I can tell you is just the kind of stuff God does when he lets people know that he cares about them. And again, when he wants to do that, I've never known him to show up in person to let that person know that. He generally does that through people like you and me. He generally does that through his body, the church on earth, to let people know that he knows their name and he cares about them. And when we can simply say, Lord, use me as a source of blessing in the lives of others, you get a whole church living and praying like that, that's an amazing church to be a part of. And by God's grace, I'm saying, Northwoods, let's be that kind of church, because God's got a whole lot more to release in the days ahead. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Listen, I'm just going to pray simply that God would bless you as you carry that little God pocket. Prompt you, use you. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask the people who are passing out, they're going to be at the end of each aisle tonight. People with stacks of 20s. Just come down. We're going to say, bless you, bless you, bless you, as we give you the 20. Okay, so do that first. And then those of you who need to get in relational proximity, before you leave tonight, you head back there to the little glass center. I always forget what it's called, hospitality center. And if there's any of you who need prayer, particularly around maybe a financial need in your life that you're crying out to God for, I'm going to just say, if you can come get your 20 and this type of thing, but if you want to receive prayer, you just wait until we've passed out all the 20s, and then we'll continue to have prayer here, and we're going to continue to worship, okay? Let me pray for you, and then as you leave tonight, just head on down here. Father, I thank you tonight that you're a God who wants to release amazing compassion through your church. And I thank you for this church, because I believe we're a compassionate church, but I think, Lord, you're going to take us to new levels. You want to show us that you're a God that we can never outgive. And I pray right now, Lord, that as we release these God pockets across our city over the next couple of weeks, that you will just orchestrate miracles of compassion. There will be some people whose eyes are open to the fact that there is a God in heaven who knows them and loves them, because he prompted someone here to say, here, I'm supposed to give this to you. The owner wanted you to have this. God, we just want to be a church that has laid down everything we have to you and are saying, God, do amazing things in the days ahead, and bring many, many more people into your kingdom. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody give him a praise offering tonight for who he is. And start coming on down. We're done. Come on down, and we'll give you your God pocket start here tonight.